If you would, please turn to the book of John, chapter 21. John, chapter 21. We'd like to read verse 3 through verse 6. John 21, verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for multitude of fishes. Have you ever heard the phrase, a miss is as good as a mile? That last second buzzer beater shot might have rolled around the rim a few times and almost went in, but instead it rolled out and the basketball fell to the court. And your favorite team lost. The shot missed. You say, but it was close. Yes, but it doesn't matter whether you missed by microns or by an air ball. You still missed. You see, a miss is as good as a mile. The other team took home the trophy. And so it is. We know what it means to come close but not succeed. We almost got that new job. We nearly got the home of our dreams. We had a good idea, but the timing wasn't right. We had a good product, but somebody got it to the market before we did. You almost married that person. Close, but not quite. In my youth, as well as in yours, I am sure, we used phrases like this. Close, but no cigar. Remember that? Or, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. You ever use that? Well, when I was growing up, the technology changed so much that it had actually changed to, close only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, atomic bombs, and air missiles. That's when close counts. The fact is, close is admirable, and close is better than far away, but close isn't enough. To be close is to fail. And yes, while I agree it is better to have tried and failed than not to have tried at all, sometimes close is a loss. He nearly got to the hospital in time. He almost escaped the burning house. It doesn't matter whether he's at the door or in the center or in the basement. Didn't make it. His offer was close, but he didn't have enough money. Sometimes close is close, but not close enough. And when we come to spiritual things, there are some aspects where close isn't sufficient. And it is my objective today to discuss this issue of being close, and I will address three areas today. I shall primarily focus on the matter of salvation, after which I shall mention dedication/devotion. And then a surrender to serve. So I want to speak to you a message from our text here in John chapter 21. A message entitled, So Close, But Yet So Far. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house, and we ask that you bless your word as it goes forth. And Lord, we know that many could not be here today due to sickness and providential hindrance. Some are traveling. Lord, we ask that you'd bless them and heal the sick. But we're here today to honor you, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask that you would just be pleased to bless as the word goes out, to speak to our hearts. And Lord, there might be some soul this morning that's close to you. That's almost a believer, but not yet. There may be some today that God in their Christian walk are dealing with and wrestling with a level of commitment and devotion, almost, but not quite. And so we ask God, and as we discuss, that you would just move and convict, draw and woo, and may your perfect will be accomplished in our lives. We commit this time to you and we love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you today so close, but yet so far. I do so by thinking about this passage before us in John chapter 21, where we find after Jesus had been raised again from the dead, he had instructed his disciples to go into Cana to Galilee. And while they were there waiting for Jesus to show up, Peter decides he wants to go fishing. And so we have the story in us that they fished before us, that they fished all night. They hadn't caught anything. Jesus comes, speaks to them, tells them how they can catch a great number of fish. They did catch them, and everything was resolved very well. What a great story it is. Now, as we think about this story, I want you to notice that we do not have a detailed record of the night's events. We see that they spent the night fishing, but we don't know all the details. We don't know if they where they're found in the morning, if that's where they've been all night, or were they on this location over here, or this favorite spot over there? Were they on the other side of the lake, and now just in the morning they've come to this side? We don't have any record. We don't know if they let down the nets on the bow or on the stern. We don't know which way they did. We don't know all their efforts in fishing. But we do know that they fished through the night. And we possess, as it were, a recent summary, because as Jesus speaks to them and says to them that, hey, you let down the net on the other side and you'll find. Well, what we do know is that the fish appear to be on the other side of the boat. And so in my mind's eye, and I can't guarantee that this is exactly what was going on, but I can see the disciples out there and one side, and they got the nets, they're doing their best to pull it in, the fish are on the other. And if you should see a cutaway, as it were, in the water there in the boat, and you know, like you see in a cartoon sometimes where they're dodging and weaving. And well, one side is the nets and on the other side of the fish. And, in a cartoon sense, they pick the nets, going over to the other side, the fish goes underneath the boat. And then you have a real problem. I don't know what the situation is here. I don't know what all they did. But I do know when Jesus speaks to them, here's the nets and are the fishermen, and the nets, I think, are in the water and on the other side of the fish. Now, it is a possibility that they had taken out the nets and have them in the boat, and they're getting ready to come back to shore saying, you know what, we failed, we didn't catch anything all night. That's possible. But in my mind's eye, I don't see that. I see them fishing on one side and on the other side of that little boat, and those things are only like 6 feet wide, on the other side of all these fish. That's how I view it. Now, either way you slice it, it doesn't make any difference. The fact of the matter is the school of fish was near, wasn't it? And as far as we know, that school of fish could have been near that boat all night long. You say, well, you can't prove that. No, I cannot prove that, but I know at this point it is. It's there. There's the fish, there's the boat, there's the disciples, there's the nets. Well, that's close. But they hadn't caught anything, had they? And so what I find from this story, and I want you to make application of that concept there, that consideration. Let's think about a few things before I make these applications. And I want you to notice that effort was expended without being productive. They were not successful. They worked, they toiled, they did everything they knew to do, but they were not successful. They did not catch a single fish. And people that are almost there, those that are close, they got the right thing. They're doing all the effort, but they just aren't there. They catch nothing. So we find them being very, very active, but not successful. I also submit unto you, as I just briefly mentioned, they were doing the right things. Now, perhaps they were at the wrong time. Maybe when they were fishing on this side, the fish were on that side, and as I mentioned about cartoons, maybe they picked up the net and said, we're not doing any good over here, let's move it over here. And when they did, the fish switched sides. Who knows? Maybe they changed locations. I don't know what it was, but perhaps it was at the wrong time. They just didn't have good timing with their nets. Don't know for sure. But it was certainly in the wrong place. Because if you fish with nets and you're in the right place, you're going to catch some fish. So whatever the deal was, they were not productive. But they were doing everything they knew, and they were doing those things which were right. Timing might have been off. Location certainly was off. But they were doing what they knew to do. I would also submit unto you that there is no indication that time would have brought about a change. By that I mean they could have fished all that morning and all went through the afternoon and fished all that night, never caught that school of fish. There's no proof that would ever happen. And that school of fish could have stayed right there next to that boat that whole time and they'd have never caught a one. There's no evidence that time would have changed it. Some people think, well, I'll just give it enough time. I'm almost there. I'll just give it more time. You can give it all time in the world. Almost is not going to make it. You understand the application there, don't you? But I also would like to submit unto you, when you see this story and you read through it and you realize what's going on here and they haven't caught anything and they just say, well, we're empty-handed. And he says, well, cast on the right side of the ship and you will find them. And you know what? What we do know is that they had no idea that they were so close to the fish. I mean, the fish were there. They just didn't know that. They could have well been on the other side of the lake. It wouldn't have made any difference because they didn't know it was there. And yet they're right out there. All they had to do is switch sides. And when they did, of course, they were successful. They didn't even know they were there. So close, but yet so far. But I would also submit unto you as I wind down the textual consideration is that, you know, even if they would have known they were there, if those disciples would have known the fish was, that school was beneath the boat there on that side, that without a response they would still yield of nothing. So they get the sonar out and go, there's a school of fish there. Oh, that's all right, we're tired. Let's call it a night. Seeing if they would have known, if they wouldn't have responded, they'd have got nothing. Some of you here today have known and have known and have known and have yet to respond. And you still, you know what you have? You have nothing. You have nothing. Almost, but not quite there. Nearly, but there's no success. The last thing I'll offer you is that success came when they were obedient to Jesus. That's when the success came. When they did what Jesus said, then they caught the fish and everything was good. Now, those are the textual considerations. These are the thoughts that I offer unto you. Let me offer you some biblical corroboration of so close, but yet so far. Three passages. Turn, if you would, to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Mark in chapter 12. You say, I'm just making that story up. I'm not making the story up. I'm not making the application up. Here's what it is, my friend. Here's a biblical corroboration to what I'm telling you that is so close, but yet so far. In Mark chapter 12, verse 28, here's what we read. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, or all my mind and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Jesus speaks the truth. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offering and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, and notice what Jesus tells him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And what I submit unto you is here's a guy that heard Jesus teach, understood some things, and made a response. And you know what? Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. But let me ask you, was he in the kingdom of God? He was not. But he's not far. And here's a fellow that had good awareness. He had some understanding. There was spiritual perception. He was close. But not quite. And you know what? We have no record of any other response. We have no indication that he ever entered into the kingdom of God. But here's a guy that heard Jesus preach, heard him talk, understood, perceived, and he was close. He wasn't far. But there's no proof that he ever entered in. The second passage is the book of Acts, chapter 26. Book of Acts chapter 26. And in verse 24. This is the story of Paul standing before King Agrippa. And we're not going to relay all the information, but he challenges Agrippa. And we read in Acts chapter 26, verse 24, as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of those things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Here's Agrippa's response. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Like the scribe, here's a fellow that has good awareness. He has understanding. He has comprehension. He has spiritual perception. And we see that he says, almost. He's almost a believer. But he's not there. And again, we have no record of any response that Agrippa ever came to know Jesus. Almost. Right there on the edge, as it were. But he wasn't in. Mark 15, if you would, please. The third passage. Mark 15. Verse 7. Or Matthew 15. Sorry. Matthew 15. Verse 7. Jesus speaking says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart, notice, is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And what we find here are some people who are self-righteous. They go, they appear religious. These are people with a willing proximity. He says they draw nigh with their mouth. They follow Jesus. He calls them hypocrites, but they're within proximity. And these are people that had a knowledge, but without any impact. These are ones who were in appearance without reality. They appeared to be righteous, but they were not. They had the motions, but without the substance. These are the kind of people, because he says, you look like it, you smell like it, you talk the part. You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. Now, would you agree with me that they were close, but yet so far? As they heard the preaching, heard the teaching, they had religion of their own thinking, but they had religion, they were doing what they thought, they were close. They're nigh with their lips, but their heart was far from them. So I'll offer you three verses today of corroboration, biblical corroboration of this concept, that you can be so close, but yet so far. Let me enter the third point of the message. I have four, but the fourth is the conclusion. The third point is a practical contemplation. Let's think about this for just a moment. So close, but yet so far. So you take the story that we began with of the fish and the fishermen, and the fish are right there, but they didn't know they were there, and they were close, but they weren't catching anything. But they were right there, but they were too far away. I mean, a miss as good as a mile. And we see these examples in the passage. And I make application of these three areas in a practical sense. The matter of salvation. The second is the issue of commitment / dedication. And the third is the surrender to serve. Let me elaborate for just a moment in the final application. We'll use up the remainder of our time and look at a few verses. But first of all, as I think about being so close but yet so far, especially in the matter of salvation, what a sad thing that it is that some are like the scribe. Jesus says, you're near to the kingdom. You're close. The guy had some concept, had some awareness, and he was putting the dots together. And you know, some of you are just like that scribe. You have awareness, you have concepts, you've heard, you're starting to connect the dots, and you're close. But you're not in. You're not been saved. You're still lost, you're still dead in trespasses and sins. You know, it occurs to me that, you know what, you're either alive or you're dead. And one of those Disney movies, it says, well, the guy's almost dead, nearly dead. You know, well, the fact is, you can't be nearly dead. You're either dead or alive. That's the way it is. You can't be almost dead. You're either dead or you're alive. You might be near death, but you're either dead or alive. And some of you are like the scribe today. Some of you possibly might be like Agrippa. Agrippa, when he was challenged with the information, he knew, he was aware, he had perception. And he says, do you believe the prophets, Agrippa? I would that you believe. And Agrippa says, almost. You've almost convinced me. I'm nearly there. But as far as we know, he never stepped over, if you will. Some of you are like the scribes. Some of you are perhaps maybe like Agrippa. And it may well be that some of you are like the Pharisees. You know what? This is all you've known. You've gone to church since you can ever remember. You go through the motions. You do the things. You profess, but you don't possess. You have the shell, but you have no substance. And you go through the outward motions. You can go to church. You can read your Bible. And you can tithe. And you can sing. And you can work. And you can serve. And you can volunteer. And you can do all those things. But you know what? Truth of the matter is, deep down in your heart, you know there's nothing there. And you just go through the motions because you don't know what else to do. You're like the Pharisees. You're close. And you honor with your mouth. And you go through the motion, and everybody thinks that you're a Christian. Truth is, you're a Pharisee. You profess and you don't possess. You're close, but you're not in. And I want you to know, in this, especially in this matter of salvation, you're either in or you're out. There's no close to it. Well, I almost got to heaven. Well, almost isn't enough. So I offer you practically a consideration of the contemplation of salvation. Secondly, just for a moment, I want to contemplate the matter of commitment / dedication. Because as Christians, we go through our lives, we want to serve the Lord, we want to be found faithful, but on occasion what will happen is God will speak to our hearts, be working in our midst, of the matter of a commitment, a greater dedication, a devotion to God. And we have to deal with that. We have to approach those things, those times when God's bringing us in seasons of maturity and growth and development. And we all approach those days. And some people who are truly born again, when it comes to this matter of commitment and dedication, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Some perceive, but they just don't proceed. Well, that's the scribe. He knew, he understood, he just didn't go. And Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And you've been challenged about Christian living and godly living and service to the Lord and being found faithful, being dedicated. And you've had those challenges down through the years and you know them. And you just never made the step. You're close. But you just refuse to be dedicated. You don't want that extra commitment. You're close, but not close enough. And some are like Agrippa. They're almost. I'm almost dedicated. I'm almost committed. I'm almost surrendered to the Lord. But almost is not there, is it? I think God works in our hearts at different stages and different times of our lives to bring us to places where He wants us to be. He did that for me, and I don't think I'm any different than any other person. But I remember as a teenager, God spoke to my heart one day, and He just said, I want you to be given to me. And I remember dedicating my life to the Lord. I didn't know, I wasn't surrendering to preach. I wasn't trying to be a missionary. I wasn't doing anything. I was just been challenged by God and challenged by the Holy Spirit to give my life, lock, stock, and barrel, every bit of it, to Jesus Christ. And I took that and accepted that challenge. And I said, Lord, I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll be whatever you want me to be. Now, he afterward had called me into the ministry, and I've been doing it for 30-plus years. That's fine. But he could have just as easy said, I'll have you do this, or I'll have you do that, or you can do this kind of labor, but I want you to be the best kind of person you can be in serving me in that position. There's a difference there. And as a teenager, God spoke to my heart, and I just said, God, I'm yours. And God may be speaking to some of you today, but you know what? You as a Christian, you're just not willing to take that step. You're not willing to say, well, you're almost there. You've been thinking about it. You've been pondering of really just turning it all over to Jesus as a child of God. But you're like Agrippa, and you're almost. Almost. And the fact is, when it comes to this matter of contentment and dedication, some are content with the emptiness and vain show. That is, you know, you've done the religion thing so long, you just... You know what? I don't have to be really committed to this deal. I'll just keep doing the outward stuff and not really have the commitment. That happens. The third area is, and quickly touch on this, is just the surrender to serve. And by that, I'm talking about a specific call to ministry. God may be calling some man today to the ministry and been calling some guy to the ministry and they're not listening. It's possible God might be leading you to the mission field. You're just not listening. Truth is, surrender to serve. You know what? Some know, but they just won't yield. They just won't. I don't know how many times I've talked to people and said, yeah, God called me to preach, and I just never did preach. I don't know how you deal with that myself. Yeah, God called me to the mission field, and I just never went. I don't know how you handle that. I think that'd be a very difficult existence as a Christian. Surrender to serve. Some know, but they just won't yield. They're like the scribe. Some consider like Agrippa, but they just won't commit. Will you, if God is speaking to your heart, convicting you today about service, will you surrender to it? You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to go overseas and all that kind of thing. What's God speaking to your heart about? Are you just willing to say, yes, I'm here. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You see, you can be close, but not be close. You can be so far away, and yet you're right there. Let me enter into the final application, and this is the fourth point, and it can be the fact that it's so close, but yet so far. And I want to deal, first of all, and primarily with the matter of salvation, and then we'll be finished after we finish the other two very briefly. Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans in chapter 10. Romans in chapter 10. So close, but yet so far. And if you're here today outside of Jesus Christ and you've been thinking about it, God's been working on your heart, and you just have a little bit of tug there, but it's not quite enough, you're close. Well, I'll tell you, miss is as good as a mile. God comes back right now, you're still dead, and you're still going to hell. And you say, well, I was close. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 says, but what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, is the word of faith which we preach. Salvation was near, gospel came, or the world knew, and you know today. The word is nigh you, it's in your mouth. We preach it all the time. You hear about the fact that you're a sinner, you're doomed and damned to devil's hell, Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. How that you need to repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive Him and know Him, and there's where you find eternal life. And He says this is near, it's close, isn't it? That, you know, it's so close for many, but yet so far. They hear it all the time, and they're still dead in trespasses and sins. But what does he say in verse 9 as he follows up? He says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And some of you are close. You're near. You're almost a believer, but you have not yet believed. You have not stepped into the kingdom. You would have not received Christ. Therefore, you're still lost. But it's close. It's close. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would turn over there, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 2, one verse, it says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee or comforted thee. And here's what I want to emphasize to you. It's close, isn't it? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's close. It's close. Now, it's near. Hebrews chapter 3, as a related passage to this. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. You're nearly there. But I want you to know that it's so close, but yet so far. Because if you're like Agrippa who said, almost thou persuadest me, you're still outside the kingdom. There's a song, it's not in our song book, but it's in many hymnals. The song is entitled, Almost Persuaded. First and the third verse go like this. Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Well, that's Agrippa, isn't it? Almost persuaded harvest is past. Almost persuaded doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but lost. Almost. And I dare say, under the sound of my voice today, some are almost persuaded. Some are almost in the kingdom, but almost is lost. And then I mentioned the matter of the dedication, so close, but yet so far. I would encourage you, dear Christian friend, to remember what it says for us over in James chapter 4 and verse 8, where it says, draw nigh to God, and He shall draw nigh unto you. There's a passage I'm going to read to you out of 2 Chronicles in chapter 15, and in verse 1 and verse 2, is the king is being challenged by the prophet, and here's what the words say. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, here's the statement. The Lord is with you while you be with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And isn't that true? Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Christian, are you considering, you pondering, you've been challenged about the matter of being dedicated to God, consecrating your life, having a devoted Christian life. Not talking about being called to the ministry or anything like that. I'm just talking as a Christian, as you go through this day-by-day existence, you want to live it for Jesus Christ. Have you been challenged by that? You say, well, I'm almost there, but I'm not quite. You're almost and so close, but it's yet so far. I urge you today, if God's speaking your heart, moving in you, that you would surrender. And that you would say, yes, Lord, I'm yours. And I will do what you want me to do and be whatever you want me to be. Be warned, as we read in the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, in the interpretation of the parable of the seed and the sower, he says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Woe to the Christian that knows he ought to live for Jesus Christ, and the world just got a hold of him. So near, but yet so far. Also be warned in Luke 9 where he says, and Jesus said unto him in verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'll tell you, God wants every one of His children to be found faithful, to be dedicated, devoted, surrendered to Him. Why aren't you there? So I'm almost there. I'm nearly there. I'm close to being surrendered. So close, but yet so far. The last thing is this, and I'm finished. The matter of the vocation. I mentioned it before, is surrender to serve. So close, but yet so far. As I mentioned to you, I've encountered those individuals who said they were called to the ministry, but never went. They were close. Some went to school, and some got educated, but never went, never did what God wanted them to do. Some said they were called to the mission field and they were close and they talked about it and prayed about it, but they just never surrendered. And it could be today that God's been dealing with your heart in the aspect of ministry as a vocation, something to do for Him, surrender to serve. One verse, Matthew 19:29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. You always best be served if you do what God would have you to do. And if that's a call to ministry, you can't be almost. You're either going to go or you're not going to go. You're either going to do or you're not going to do. And I would encourage you today to take the story that we find and the fish that were there and the disciples and all the events that we made reference toward, the biblical corroboration and the practical application, and say, you know what, God, where am I? What do you want me to do and how should I be? Am I just close? Am I almost? Or am I given to you? Am I surrendered? Dear sinner, oh, that you'd be saved today. Almost is lost. And I point you to Jesus that you'd be saved. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Chad, would you please come? We'll sing a hymn. The invitation simply is this is right where you are. If God's dealing with your heart, I don't know what He's doing. He does. If He moves in your heart, convicts in your soul, and you've been talking about these things, praying about these things, why not surrender today? Why not give it to Him? Why not yield it over? Almost isn't enough. Nearly isn't quite sufficient, is it? I just encourage you to be given to Jesus 100% and may His will be done. Sinner, that you might be saved. Father, thank you for the day. Bless your word. And Lord, overcome any frailty of speech, anything that I might have said that would be that would detract from the truth. And God, I pray that you would just take these things and work in every one of our hearts, that we would recognize the truth that's conveyed in the message, that we can be close but yet so far away. Close isn't enough. God, cause us to be what we ought to be for you. Forgive us for our sins. Draw us to you and help us be found faithful. And Lord, you recognize and we recognize that we're but dust and ashes. And Lord, we'd like that one man who confessed, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Lord, we surrender, but we know that we're so weak. God, grant us everything that we need to serve you and to serve you well. We ask you to save the lost. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?
Number 366.
I'm